The world's a better place because you are here to join us. My name is Matt Brown, and I am the host of the Productive Conversations podcast. And let's begin this show with a friendly voice, and let's talk about the NBA playoffs. A nice mixture of both, some major blowouts and some close games, maybe even some classics. But all in all, the NBA playoffs are off to a great start. And let us recap games one and two for all eight series. And we are recording this in the middle of the Heat and Celtics game two, and then the Pelicans and OKC game two. Just a note there. But Fresh Faces is with me. What's up?
How you doing?
Great. I've been looking forward to talking about this. So let us start with everything. Let's begin first, of course. Me as a Knicks fan, I have to definitely show my giddiness, because right now at this moment, the New York Knicks are leading the Philadelphia 76ers 2-0. Game one was a back and forth battle that the Knicks ran away, and then game two, the Dante DiVincenzo game, if you will, down by 6 with 28 seconds left. Due to some misfortunes, maybe there was a foul. Okay, I'll be fair. There was a foul on Maxey, but he fumbles the ball, turns it over. Dante misses the first shot. Rebound by Hartenstein to OG, then to Dante at the top of the paint, and he makes the three, leading to finally a great Garden moment that is not at the Knicks' expense. And the momentum is as good as it gets for the New York Knicks. Now, I understand at this moment, the series is not over. There's still plenty of concerns for the Knicks, from Jalen Brunson not playing, not having a good start to his series. Apparently, Mitch Robinson's having ankle issues. They're still trying to figure out an established shooter if Jalen's not there. And of course, even though the Dante DiVincenzo moment was amazing, if it went the other way, this series will look completely different. But right now, up 2-0, going to Philly with a bunch of momentum, but with a bunch of issues as well. And still, the Sixers can definitely make a push as well. So take my bias out of it and be an objective right now. Faces, what did you think about the first two games of Sixers and Knicks?
Well, I didn't. I was busy during the first one, and then the second one, I missed like almost all of it except the end. So my takeaway mostly has been, the Knicks have, there have been like moments where they've gotten away with doing some like more physical stuff. Like when they played the Pistons and DiVincenzo basically just tackled the Thompson that they have to get the ball. Like there have been examples of this. It's mm-hmm. playoffs. You play a little harder, you get away with a little bit more. I don't know. I think you're happy to be up 2-0. You know, Brunson hasn't been playing well. Embiid still, like, it is still worrying. It should be worrying for them that Embiid is still kicking their ass, and he's essentially playing on one leg, and it doesn't appear that his eye is functioning right either.
Yeah.
That's a little concerning. But yeah, you know, you're up. That's what matters. It'll get more difficult playing against a team that they get the winner of the Bucks series, right?
Yes, that's what would happen.
Okay, so it may get a little more difficult, but not like supremely difficult. But you're seeing where the flaws of this is. The Knicks are missing Randall. Like they don't have another guy. Dante's not if he's the third best player on your team, you're maybe okay depending on who the first two are. But you know, Josh Hart is the perfect glue guy for every team. And look, I know everyone's like, oh, they should go get Mikal Bridges because he's the Villanova guy, but why? Like, you don't really need a Mikal Bridges. Like, unless you don't think you're keeping OG. Because, like, I don't think Mikal Bridges brings anything that is going to put the team over the top over someone like Paul George, where you need that second guy. Or I don't even know who. Like eventually Giannis may become available, or maybe Embiid himself.
So, you know, one thing's talking about, we'll get to the Suns later, but say they're imploding, you know, spoiler there, right? And things go to shit. Maybe they even get swept or gentlemen sweep. And we have Kevin Durant on the final year of his deal next year. We also have, what if, I don't know, a disgruntled Devin Booker wants out. We shoot it too high. Maybe one of the Suns players could come join the Knicks, especially if what they're cooking. If they can make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, definitely there'd finally be some major interest of a major superstar coming into the Knicks. And maybe one of the players on the Suns could be one of those guys if they're going to go through a rebuild.
More likely Booker. I think Durant's going back to Oklahoma City.
To finish his career there, you think? That's what I've been hearing,
too. Yeah, I think so. Because he dropped his new shoe with Chet as the face of it.
And do you think he will be gone before his contract ends next year? Like, they'll get another trade there, or we'll have to wait till
if they were smart, beginning of 25. I mean, we're not talking about – I mean, we could talk about the Suns now because there really isn't a lot to say about the Knicks. Like, it's good they're up. You know, it all depends on whether Joel Embiid is, like, fully healthy or not, which he's not. You know, Philly's not playing great. So, like, the Philly thing, Philly has, like, 2 years on the clock. They have, like they're obviously not going to be like, oh, we're going to make, like, super drastic changes. Joel wasn't healthy. But when he was healthy, we're kicking everyone's ass. And then if they, like, go out and get, like, Paul George, well, then they're going to add an extra year because, like, okay, well, this is the first year with Paul George. You know, maybe we're working out the Kings, see where everything is. And then, like, so there's probably, like, 2 more years left before they got to worry about an Embiid, like, I got to leave. But he's also, like, you know, almost out of his prime. I mean, he missed 2 years because of the foot stuff, but he's had a lot of leg injuries. The real issue with Embiid is he's too heavy. He's got too much weight on him, and that's part of the problem when you're that big.
Yeah, do you think, and like you mentioned, it's insane what he's been able to pull off in this series. Two games, averaging right now about 28 points a game with all the injuries he's battling with and needing Maxey to carry. Tobias Harris has been a disappointment, but a good thing. But ultimately, before we move on, do you think the series is just over? You think the Sixers don't have a chance? Maybe the Knicks can even end it if we want to get greedy, if they can pull off the sweep in Philly, or if they bring it to game five and end it there. Do you ultimately think that it's just a matter of time for the Sixers?
Yeah, it doesn't. It feels over, like because of, like, it was a very emotional letdown, but it's not, like, this could still go. They could come back from Philly tied 2-2. Like, this isn't like some of the other series, like Orlando feels over. Boston, even if they lose tonight, that series is over. Denver feels over, and Phoenix feels over. Like, the Philly series isn't over in the same way because there's still, like, these aren't, like, blowout with, like, deep issues that cannot be solved. It's things are kind of haven't bounced the way that they wanted, and, you know, maybe a couple more days off, maybe he's a little healthier, maybe that changes. Like, it's, you know, it's much closer than a 2-0 series would imply.
And like I said, it could have gone, we could be 1-1 going into this. If
you could be down 0-2, right? Like, you know, the games they're not wins in, like, oh, we're the better team, and, like, there isn't a doubt that we're going to win these games. They've kind of been like let's be real. Like, you should have. There's no reason you won that game. You get the Jalen Brunson gets that lucky bounce to get the ball in, and then Maxey, like, fell down. Like, you shouldn't have won that game.
But hey, we did win's a win. I'm not disagreeing. It's for once something went our way, and, you know, the NBA with the 2-minute report called him out anyways, as if that did anything.
And also, like, what is the point of that?
To get more people talking about the NBA, I guess, to keep the story going.
But they don't do
going.
Anything with it. Like, yeah. Like, if you're going to release these reports, you either need to start changing how you do refs, like maybe finding refs or something, or, like, doing, like, consent, like, picks or something for it, or, like, replaying games or something. Like, all that does is make everybody mad.
Yeah, I guess that's just the talk point. And especially if there's no accountable holding scenario, it's just to continue the story. And last thing with this, how do you feel about Nick Nurse's job so far with this?
I look, you can't, this is, So Nick Nurse has job security, first off, just because, like, he's a good coach. Like, you can't fire Nick Nurse right now. Like, he hasn't done anything that would, like, if they lose this series, this is not on Nick Nurse. Like, you have to judge this season on a curve in the same way, like, Embiid can't be like, okay, we can't win. I can't win here. I need to go somewhere else. Like, if Embiid was healthy, they probably weren't the one seed, but they're pushing 60 wins. Yeah, I think it was like a 65-win pace when he was healthy. Where this is a very different conversation if he's healthy. So I wouldn't blame Nick Nurse. Also, Nick Nurse has done a fantastic job. Like, Embiid was playing better than he was last year. Like, I don't remember if we talked about this, but I wouldn't have voted for MVP if Embiid had been healthy. I wouldn't have voted for him because I didn't think he deserved to win it last year. And I think if you're going to make the argument that the argument made against Jokic last year applies doubly for Embiid. So he shouldn't have won it last year if he was going to win it this year. But, like, he was playing better than ever. Maxey was phenomenal. He did win Most Improved. I don't think he deserved it. I think Coby White deserved it.
You know what the funniest stat about that is? He's the first Most Improved player to average 20 points last year as well.
Right, like it was you know, it was the pre, you know, they do the preseason picks for everything.
Yeah.
And it was like he was the choice. But it, like, everyone knew he was going to have a better year. Like, he just, by simply
definitely a breakout season for him.
Right. Like, he was, but last year he broke out. He had a good season. He was recognized last year as, like, the next guy. Mm-hmm. And he just had to step in. Now, obviously that, you know, requires some amount of more skill to be able to do it in the way he did it. But I don't think that was the right choice for that. But yeah, there's I don't know. I think Philly's fine. Not fine. They're not going to win the title. But, you know, you can't. It's just, I think that they're basically kind of so cursed from the process. Like, you get all these guys and they just, like, I cannot think of a time. Like, the only other, like, the closest thing to this was the Blazers, where they had Greg Oden and they had Brandon Roy and they had LaMarcus Aldridge, and then two of those guys just broke down, and there was nothing that, but they didn't tank in the same way that Philly did. So, like, Philly got Ben Simmons, and Ben Simmons was like, "Yeah, I'm not really about playing basketball."
Mm-hmm.
Philly, Butler. Like, Ben Simmons, like, yeah, they got rid of Jimmy Butler for Tobias Harris, or Ben Simmons, like, they. Even Ben Simmons is actually very similar to Melo in that the player who Ben Simmons was when he was at his peak was the same player throughout his entire career. Like, he didn't change. He never got better. He never changed anything. He was the same player. Melo was exactly the same way. He was the same player at whenever the fuck he retired as when he was drafted. Like, maybe he was a little craftier and he was a better shooter, but he never changed who he was. Like, he was the exact, he did get better at other things. Like, that's the type of player Ben was. And then you got Markelle Fultz, who had his shoulder injury, even though he looked like the guy at the time. And then you had Embiid, who's just been cursed. Like, you know, sometimes you try and error. Like, it's not like they're fucked. Like, they have a bunch of picks. Like, if they wanted to reset with Embiid, their reset would be relatively quickly because they have all the Brooklyn picks. They have, they'll have whatever picks they get for trading Embiid, or if he to whatever fucking team he wants to go to, New York, or I don't know, Oklahoma City. Like, that's it. Like, that's like, Oklahoma City could come in at any point and say, "Yeah, I'm going to give you 10 first rounders for whatever your player is." Like, it would be a relatively quick rebuild, and they already have a guy under Maxey. Maxey's still like, what, 22?
Yeah, he's only played in the league for 3 years.
Right. So, you know, they would be able to rebuild relatively quickly.
All right. So, very much a crucial game 3 that'll be played Thursday night, and we'll see where it goes. Series not over, but it's definitely a lot of fun. So, moving on, we mentioned the Suns and the Timberwolves. Timberwolves destroyed the Suns. Game 1 winning 120-95 and then 105-93. Anthony Edwards is just going off. They look lost on offense, no cohesion whatsoever. The Suns, you mentioned that series is already over pretty much What do you think about what's going on there and how the Timberwolves have been handling, looking really good so far?
Well, so the game one was like, okay, you know, we're playing it close, and then they got really hot, and there wasn't anything we could do about that. Like, that was more of a fluky thing of, like, today's NBA, like, somebody gets really hot, and it's like, it's over. Game two, they were up, and Ant wasn't playing well, and Towns was in foul trouble, and they still couldn't win it. Like, this is the worst case of new owner syndrome ever. They blew an entire decade. Like, they don't have any picks until 2031. And they have one playoff series, which they only won because Kawhi and Paul George were hurt. Like, we saw it in game one with, I think Kawhi played in game one. Like, they barely won that
this
game.
He started in game two. He was out for game one.
I'm talking about last year.
Last year. Right.
And then I think Paul George was one of the two. One of them played. And there was a close game, and then they were out, and it was basically Westbrook trying to do it by himself. Like, they wouldn't have won that series by if they'd been healthy. The only reason they didn't get swept against the Denver was because Devin Booker decided to not miss. He missed seven shots over two games. He shot like the highest percentage of all time, like ever. It was like insane. And then they went out and said, "You know what's going to solve our problems? Bradley fucking Beal." Like,
and he barely played this year.
It's not even that he didn't play. Like, he's not the answer to this, like, their issues. And so they have no depth. They literally cannot sign free agents because they're over the cap. There's no getting better for this team. And the problem is, this Wolves team is just better. They're built in a way to really disrupt what the Suns do. Rudy Gobert, maybe one of the worst offensive players of all time. Like, it is incredible to watch that man dribble. He is so bad offensively. If like we joke about this, like my dad and I, when we talk about Mitchell Robinson, because a couple years ago he set like the all-time record for field goal percentage. But Mitchell Robinson has like at the rim range. Like he cannot do anything. But I would trust Mitchell Robinson with the ball like infinitely more than Rudy Gobert. He cannot score at all. Like he is terrible offensively. It is like actually incredible how bad he is. But Rudy's defense has been like really good. And I think the Ringer was talking about this. They were writing a piece about this. And the issue is Phoenix only has one big man they can rely on. And Minnesota has three. And that makes a huge difference when they're this much bigger. And they're physical and they're strong. And Mike Conley has been like lit them up in that game. You know, he said I could go for 30 every night. It was like, no, Mike, you can't. Like you can't anymore. You didn't when you were good enough to do it. But there is that. Ant didn't even play that well, but you know, he's like, he understands enough how to like create passes for himself, and he's a dogged defender. And Jaden McDaniels played his ass off. He's played a fantastic series. Like I don't know if he's Herb Jones level defense, but you know, he's a step below. He's like almost there, and he's better offensively. And they're just so much bigger, and it's, you know, maybe Phoenix gets one. They have the firepower to get one, but it just feels over. Like, in a way, not in the same way the Nuggets feel over, but, like, it just feels like this is a team that's just too much for them. And, and you know, this has been kind of an issue for this Phoenix team the last couple of years is they're just not tough enough. Like they weren't tough enough when the Mavericks came back and just kicked the crap out of them. I mean, you can't fault them in the finals. Giannis was just too much. And, you know, the crazy thing was, even in the finals, their issue is kind of the same as it was. They didn't have enough big man depth. Like, after Ayton, the first big off the bench was Frank Kaminsky. Granted, part of that was because Darius Arden.
Where
like,
is he even now?
But, like, you know, that's not good either. So we're, 3 years later, 4 years later, and their issue is the same, that they don't have any big man depth?
And like you said, there's no way they can get any reinforcements as well. They'll just have to get G League players.
Losing Grayson Allen is a huge blow to them. Like, they got nothing. Like, and remember, like, they signed Bol Bol this offseason. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, we've already seen what Victor could do. He's Bol Bol. Bobo got garbage minutes. He's terrible. Like,
and so, yeah, so I mean, you must just suck to be a Suns fan then, because you clearly see, you know, we talked about KD's leaving, and if not next year, then definitely the following year. If Devin Booker's disgruntled, if he wants out, maybe you get some first round picks from there, and then, you know, Bradley Beal. Hopefully he doesn't just collapse.
The problem with Bradley Beal is he may have the worst contract in the league, but unlike Zach LaVine, you can't trade him unless he wants to be.
Yeah,
so
no
you're just
trade
kind of
clause.
Stuck with him. And the other thing with Beal is, or with Booker, oh, the Heat won by 10.
Yeah, we'll get to that right after this.
The other thing with Booker is, I'd be curious to see what his value is, because he is very good, but like, He can't be the number one on a team.
Nope.
And I don't know, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of teams that would go for him. Like, I'm sure the Lakers would pony up a ton of stuff for him. But I don't know. His value would be interesting, because he's one of those guys who's going to have, like, you know, he's soft type of thing. Because, like, the teams they've beaten haven't been, like, that impressive. Like, the year they went to the finals, they would have lost to that Lakers team. Like, if they had been healthy, they would have lost. They lost the games the Lakers were healthy. But LeBron was hurt and AD was hurt. And that's why they won that series. And I don't even remember who else they beat. Oh, they didn't they?
I don't really remember that. I just remember them losing to the Bucks and Lakers, like you said.
Yeah, it wasn't like this is not a like they're screwed. Like I don't know what you do. I don't know how you run this back. And yeah, I don't know. Good on the Wolves. Good on Naz Reid, man. The crazy thing about this Wolves team
Sixth
is
man of the year.
Like this Wolves team is kind of on the clock in a way that like the Nuggets and the Thunder aren't. It like they can't pay all these guys. Like they can't pay Edwards, they can't pay Towns, they can't pay Naz Reid, they can't pay Gobert, they can't pay Jamie. They cannot, you like under the cap currently, you can't pay these guys. So somebody's gonna leave. And the question is like it's basically do you decide between Naz Reid or Towns? And that's what they're
what
gonna
would
have
you
to figure out
you
basically.
Do? You know, Katz, you know, keeps getting all-star appearances, but injury prone clearly. And then Naz Reid coming off sixth man of the year. What would you do?
I think I'm keeping Towns. I
Yeah,
think he's
might as
better.
well keep the homegrown player too, who
Well,
you
it's
drafted
not even
first
that.
overall.
I think he's a better shooter. I think Naz Reid does a little bit more, and you're always going to be dealing with like he doesn't have a great basketball IQ, Towns, but you know it takes like. He's been there for a while, and he's thought he was the guy, and he's kind of been like, okay, you know, this is Ant's team. And that's a level of maturity that, like, it is impressive. Like, I think there's, you know,
not a lot of athletes could do that, no matter
right.
the sport.
Like, he thought it was his team when Wiggins was there. He thought it was his team when Jimmy Butler was there. But he, like, understands. Like, I think Towns is... It depends on how they lose. Like, I don't think they need to make the decision this year. They can probably make it next year. Because the way their team is built, they're in like a really interesting place. Like they match up really well with a lot of the other teams. Like they're a nightmare for Oklahoma City to play. Like they're just too damn big for them. And they match up pretty well with Denver. Like they're one of the teams that plays Denver really tough because they're really big and they're really aggressive. It's just like a cap thing, like, and it's kind of unfortunate that that's how this team came to be. But you know, they would have been the one seed if Towns had been healthy. Like, you know, so it should be interesting.
Very much agree to that. So we just talked about and mentioned that the Heat actually won Game Two. And even up the series in Boston, but you offline and here still feel that there's still no chance for the Heat. No Jimmy Butler. Even though getting some momentum, being the one seed at home, you still think that the Celtics are just going to handle them and take care of it and just win the series at home, maybe in game five.
So without having had actually watched the game or taken a look at the box scores or what happened, I'm going to guess that this was a hangover game. Like the Celtics beat the shit out of them in game. Like, they were clearly much better. They're still much better. This is kind of similar to what happened with Miami in the finals, where they were the worst team and they still won a game. Basically, like, they scratched one out. Like, I think it's that. I think the Celtics probably got overly complacent. And, like, they probably needed this kick in the head to lock in.
Yeah.
It would take such horrific meltdown for them to lose this fucking series, or like Tyler Hero would basically have to ascend to like a level we've never imagined. Like, I don't even know who. Like, I was listening to them, a couple people discuss this. Like, the Caleb Martin Western Conference Finals last year was such an outlier. It's literally the largest historical outliner for a player, from their playoff season, or the regular season to the playoffs in like NBA history. Like, he had an out-of-body experience of being good for, like, 2.5 weeks. And it was, like, unlike anything else we've ever seen. And unless the entire team does that, or Bam turns into, like, prime Shaq. Like, other than one of those things, or, like, you know, Porzingis' leg falls off. Like, there isn't – they're better. And without you know, digging in and seeing what had happened to figure out, you know, what it was. Like, maybe this could have very easily been a game where the Heat just got, like, fucking hot and hit, like, 33s. Like, it could have been something like that.
Yeah, so you can overhear, Tatum only went 10 for 20 from the field. Porzingis only went 1 for 9 and only played 30 minutes. Drew Holiday, 4 for 12 from the field. Jaylen Brown with 33, but he goes 33, 8, and only 1. Yeah, it seems that they're just outplayed in this one. While we have Tyler Hero, 7 for 13 from the field, 24, 14, and 5. Bam with 21 and 10. You know, just reading off the stats and looking at this, because I didn't see much of the game either. But it seems that looking here that the Heat just ran away within the third quarter, only Boston getting 18. And well, it is what it is.
Yeah,
but
I mean,
flukes happen, like you said.
Yeah, this is actually better. Like, there's a certain level, like the level of history that this Celtics team is playing with, just like based on the point differential and how many games they've won and the distance between them and the two seed, it is a lot of pressure mentally, and it is good to get kicked in the teeth. Like, you need that, just so you don't like have that pressure of, oh my God, we're tightening up because, like, we can't lose any game because we're, you know, we're chasing the 03 Lakers or the 17 Warriors or whatever those teams that went like 15-1 or some shit.
All right, let's continue on. Let's talk about the Lakers and the Nuggets right now. Lakers and Nuggets right here. Okay. So Nuggets destroy the Lakers in game one. Then game two, looked like it was going the other way around, that the Lakers were actually going to destroy the Nuggets. They blow a 20-point lead. Jamal Murray, insane in the last sequence, gets the buzzer beater. And, you know, I'm watching also LeBron playing his heart out, especially, I thought, after that fast break and then that block he got. I thought they were going to seal it and get some momentum, but, you know, just bad coaching from the Lakers, and the Nuggets are showing why they might be on the brink of going back to back and maybe really building something here. And Jokic just playing lights out, having the game of his life, or of this game of this season, I should say. And at 27, 20, and 10, man, we're really seeing a special player right here. And just everything worked, and Anthony Davis was going insane. D'Angelo Russell, and thus the Nuggets were just, it just couldn't handle them. And as you mentioned, this is a favorite to win it again for a reason. But what do you think about this? Was you feel it was more of the Lakers collapsing, or the Nuggets showing how dominant they can be?
A little bit of both. So this is my favorite series because it's two teams that both have a lot of history and also play it like at such a high level. Like all some of the series are close. Like the Knicks and the Philly has been close. The Thunder series is interesting, but this is like a different level of like understanding and playing at a high level. And these teams are so like they have star power like in a different level, and they have a different type of like chemistry. Like the Nuggets chemistry is unbelievable. You know, they a couple things going their wrong way, they lose this game. And I think they're gonna blow them out game three. Because I think they part of the thing with Jokic is like he's not a fast rev up player. Like if Jamal when you get blown out by the Nuggets, it's because Jamal Murray and like Michael Porter Jr. are just lighting you up like early. Like you get lit up early. Like if you most of the time they kind of win like the old Spurs teams where it's like, you know, it's a close game, they win by 10, everyone goes home. I think and Jamal Murray, like this is the problem with the game too. Like Jamal Murray hasn't played well this series. So like when you're getting all and then you lose that game like that, it's tough. But this Nuggets team, I think they're like just so confident in themselves that they know that they're gonna win. I think they fucked around a little bit too much in the beginning of this game. And they do need to figure out an answer for like Anthony Davis because Anthony Davis is playing his fucking ass off.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if his like if LeBron leaves, you trade him. And you recoup his because his trade value is
he's
never
been playing.
Be
he's been playing his ass off too this series.
Right. Like this is like they're playing among like this is like the peak of what LeBron could do at this
point. At almost 40 years old.
Yeah. He like it's unbelievable how good he is. This is just like a high level series. The Nuggets are just better. They're just deeper. They're better. Like, Austin Reeves has played terrible. The Lakers don't really have a bench. I know Christian Wood is coming back, and I think they're getting somebody else. Vanderbilt's coming back, but I don't really know how much of a difference that's really going to make because neither the like you got to trust Christian Wood. In like a tight playoff game.
Well, I don't know with this coach right here and not being able to figure anything out. Who knows what they're
like,
thinking?
Like, you know, Rui wasn't playing well either. Like, to be fair to Darvin Ham, they don't have an answer for Jokic. And I know this is going to be a surprise, but nobody has an answer for Jokic. That's why he's the best player in the world. And it is incredibly like there are moments like. There are moments watching Jokic that are just, like, so frustrating as, like, a fan. Because he kicks the shit out of you. Like when Tim Duncan was the best player, it was different. Because he was just, like, fundamentally sound. Jokic doesn't even look like a basketball. Like, when he's running up, like, when he's running up back and forth, he doesn't look athletic. Some, like, two or three times a game, he'll make a jump hook where he's not even looking. You know, he always has that once there's that
he doesn't even seem like he likes it either. Like
he never looks happy. He's just like all the time. It's just like a fucking weird thing to watch. But once you get past those like weird moments, he's so fucking good, and they're just better. Like this is why I said they should have ducked this matchup because. You don't want to play this team. You want to avoid them as much as possible. In the same way that teams on the Eastern side wanted to avoid Boston.
Do you think we're seeing Jokic turning into an all-time great?
He already is an all-time great. He's going to be a three-time MVP with potentially two titles.
Mm. Like, so you would put him as those great centers with the Wilts and the Duncans and the
Kareem. Dunk wasn't a center. But he's what, the fifth? Seventh best center, sixth best center of all time. You got like Russell, Wilt, Kareem, Shaq. You know, if he wins a title, I think he's better. If he wins a title, I think he's better than Hakeem.
Would tie him for that,
right? But he's more plenty more. Yeah, Hakeem was
true.
Like Hakeem wouldn't have thrived in this era in the same way. Like Hakeem is a fantastic defensive player, but Jokic's like offense is unbelievable. But yeah, no, he's already an all-time great. The question is, like, how high is he going to go? It was kind of the same question we had about Giannis, and I guess we'll find out in a couple of years when he leaves the Milwaukee, how high he can go when he tags along with Victor.
You really think
Granted,
that you speak that you should want to speak that into his existence? I see.
The other thing is, I know this is weird. I think Jokic and Luka are going to play at some point together.
And not on the did you hear who said someone say if Yugoslavia was still a nation, they
I
could
think it
beat the
was
Americans?
Goran Dragic, I might have said that. But like,
Those two
yeah, no,
teams.
I think like in the NBA they're going to play.
And you think
I
that.
don't know when it will be or which team, but it very much feels like they're kind of like goofing around well enough that they might play together. Like it may be like 1 year when they're just like kind of done, but you know.
That would be a fun destiny, would it? So, where do you want to go next? Should we do some Clippers, Mavs, Bucks, Pacers, Cavs, Magic, OKC, Pelicans? What you feeling at this moment?
I think we can knock out a couple real quick. We can do the Cavs, Orlando, and then the Bucks one because that'll be like a 10 minute conversation in total. Like the Cavs series, I think the issue was I hadn't really watched a lot of Orlando, and I didn't realize how bad their offense was. Like I knew it was bad, but watching it is different. It's real ugly. They have to go get a guard, and I don't know if it's Malik Monk, if it's Klay Thompson, if it's like Paul George. And I reiterate what I said during the draft coverage: they should have traded for Dame. Like they should have traded for Dame. Like they had the two first picks. They basically blew the second one. They have like a jillion guards. They need somebody who sets somebody up, and they need some shooting. So, like, if they're not gonna, so the absolute worst, like, case, you know, we can't figure out anything off the market team for this is they trade for Trae Young. Because
I think
if
that's
there's
your
any
best
team,
option.
like, if there's any team in the league designed to help Trae Young's inefficiencies, it's Orlando. They're huge and they're really good defensively, which all things Trae's bad at. But like it would be way smarter if they just traded for Tyus Jones. Like that's a better option for them to do. Just trade for Tyus Jones and go get, like, you just need a steady guy to set. Like their game one, their point guards combined for four baskets and all of them were from Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, this team's
I
very
forgot
young.
Gary Harris was in the league.
Just got drafted. But yeah, this team is very young. You know, young coach, a lot of things cooking there. I think you mentioned how they're just playing with house money, just here for the playoff experience. Despite those woes and just becoming a more attractive place for players to come, at least they got something there. And then the Cavs are just trying to get some redemption and get to a second round after an early exit last year with what they have in Donovan if he's going to go in the offseason. It seems these two teams are playing each other, but you don't really see them making any deep runs. They'll have a winner by default, but likely Boston, you would play Boston and they would just handle them pretty
them
much.
Winning
There.
Cavs winning this series may be one of the worst things that happened to Cleveland. Like if they lost this, no, because like look at this. Let's say they go into this, they win this series and they go to Boston. And they get walloped. Like they get, like if they get absolutely obliterated and it's like very clear that Boston's better, maybe that's a good thing for them. But let's say they lose in five and a couple of those games are close and they're like, okay, we're right there. We're gonna re-sign Donovan Mitchell. Like that's not, that team can't win a title. And it's certainly not in the, like they may be this the third best. Like if everybody's healthy, they're at best the fourth best team in the East. That's at best. Like Boston, Philly, and Milwaukee are all better than them. They're maybe better than the Pacers, but I think the Pacers have a higher potential ceiling. They have, you know, Ben Mathurin and Halliburton, but like I don't know where like it, I think they're better kind of blowing this thing up. Like, it's a good vibes ending. Turn it over. Just see what you can get.
I would take that. And speaking of the Pacers, we have the Pacers and the Bucks right now tied at one. Dame having a really good series. Pretty dominated game one, and then the Pacers bring it back, winning on the road. How about Pascal Siakam with a 30-point game? Pretty fun stuff.
He's having 37 right now. So, like, we talked about this. Like, Dame had a really good first half. He had 35 in the first half. He had 35 for the game in game one. They're going really hard about trying to stop Haliburton. They've done a relatively good job. But they don't have an answer for Pascal Siakam. Like, losing Giannis, who would be his primary defender, they don't have it. Like, he's bigger than Middleton. He's bigger than Connaughton. He's bigger than most of their wings. He's faster. Like, you're not going to put Brook Lopez on him because you don't have a rim protector on him. And he's faster and he's longer than Bobby Portis. So, like, they just do not have an answer for him. Like, this is his time to shine. And he's also really good. Like, you know, it is, you know, they are susceptible because they're not a great defensive team. And this is, like, a pretty veteran Bucks team. But I don't know. I don't expect the Bucks to win this series. It may be a little closer than I thought it would be. Maybe they'll win two. But it's not a – this is the Pacers to lose. It would be a pretty bad loss for them to lose this series. And it may lead to issues with Siakam in the future, but you know,
and you want to start building a culture. This would be the wrong time for that now, but, not much hope with Giannis. I don't think we'll see him in this series. If he comes back, it looks like it'd be the round two.
And maybe, yeah, cause I think the report said that he can't run or jump and he's doing stationary shooting. I think that was the report today.
It's going to be a stretch regardless. But do you see Dame being the one to carry the Bucks to at least get them to the conference finals? Are you good enough for that? From what you're seeing so far?
I don't think so. I don't think they would. I mean, going up against the Knicks would be better for them. It would certainly be better for the Knicks because, like, playing Dame is, like, the perfect cure for having a shitty series because he can't play defense. Like, he's not even a bad defender. He's a he's like almost Trae Young level defense. That would be an interesting series for the Knicks because they're essentially like if they don't have Giannis, they're kind of the same team. The Bucks have a little bit more with Middleton on the wing, but the Knicks are deeper. So, like, they're really the same team, and they're going to go as far as their guard does. But no, their series is going. Their ceiling is always going to be capped as long as they're playing without Giannis. And honestly, you know, if they win this series, it's a good promising build for them because they had no wing defenders, and I'm going to stand by this. I don't think Doc Rivers was the right hire. It should have been Nick Nurse.
Do you think Doc is going to be there next year?
I think he kind of has to be, right?
Yeah, like, I don't know the contract details at the moment off the top. I could quickly look that up.
It's not even the contract. Like, are you going to blame him for losing this series if they don't have Giannis? Like, you can't blame him for that.
Yeah, sorry. He has, by the way, he signed till 27, so he is there for a while.
It doesn't make any difference. Like, they don't care. It's all dead money for them. I don't think that counts against your cap. It's just like, does your owner give a shit? and, you know, I don't think they would have brought him in and just, like, said, okay, well, now we're getting rid of you for this. Because, like, who are you going to bring in next year? You're going to have three coaches in the span of a year?
Oh, man, that's like the New York Giants. But, no, that's obviously not the way to go, especially for how much you want to keep Giannis and give him reason to stay. Recycling head coaches is the complete opposite of what you do.
And again, I'm going to reiterate this. They should have fired Bud after they won the title. Like, they should have got Rick Carlson. Like, he's a better coach than Bud. He just is.
Just got to deal with it. So let's talk about the Clippers and the Mavs. After the Clippers win in game one, Kawhi returns, but then the Mavs show up. Luka having the best game of the series so far of the two, but Mavs looking really good with Kyrie contributing. Tim Hardaway's having looking good. The series is even right now. Do we see this going pretty deep, especially now that both teams don't have excuses for injury problems? This is going to be a very fun series to see. Now it's a best of five.
Well, no, the Clippers still have injury issues. You have Kawhi on your team. You always have an injury issue.
Just by there, like, just living there.
Right. Yeah. I mean, he's not healthy. Like, he's not fully healthy. But yeah, Dallas just was sleeping in game one. Like, they didn't show up the first half. And also, like, Luka's, like, what was the stat that when Luka was the primary defender, they shot 2 for 17 against him? Like, he's a big boy. He can play defense sometimes. Like, he had multiple blocks in that game. Like, when he cares, he cares. And I think in this case, and this may be the only time anyone has ever said this sentence in the history of basketball, I think Kyrie's been a good influence on him in this case. Because in game one, he gave a shit. Nobody else gave a shit. And Kyrie is playing his ass off defensively. And I think that's impacting the team especially Luka. Like, game one, I understand him being mad at Kleber for dropping that ball. That must have been a frustrating game to be part. And I think they got it together. I still think they're going to win. I don't think without 100% Kawhi they're going to win. I certainly don't ever trust a team that is going to employ both Paul George and James Harden in the playoffs. It's certainly not like a history that has a recipe for success. But it's, it's going to be a good series in the sense that these are teams that have met a bunch of times. They have a bunch of interesting foils to each other. But I mean, it could be over in 5 or 6. I don't think they're going to 7.
With Dallas running away with it.
Yeah, I think Dallas is going to win. I especially without a healthy Kawhi, like, it's him coming back in. He's a totally different player from the style that they've had, and they need him defensively on Luka.
All right, I respect that. Now, just the last series to go through, we have OKC and the Pelicans. They are playing game two as we are speaking, but OKC wins game one, and they very well could have lost that. Pelicans looking really good even without Zion. This series is very interesting, as you mentioned before. Please go in more detail what you think about it.
Well, this series is why you go get another big man if you're Oklahoma City. Like, you need somebody, because Valanciunas is like the perfect foil for, like, do you need a big? Like, because you're going to need a big at some point. You need somebody big enough to bang with Jokic, period. And that's not Chet. Like, it just isn't. He just isn't big enough. It's occasionally Wemby, although the number one person he blocked was Jokic. And then, like, Valanciunas had a good game. This is a very good Pelicans team in the way that they have a lot of different pieces who are really good. They got a lot of big wing guys, the Herb Jones. Herb Jones is, like, the only guy who slows down Shea. We'll see more Trey Murphy. I don't know. You gotta hope that you get good Brandon Ingram. Like, that's the problem. Like, you'll get, like, okay Brandon Ingram. Like, bad Brandon Ingram is bad. Like, he's, like, real bad when he's off. But, like, good Brandon Ingram was when we saw them play against the Suns a couple years ago. He was really good at that series. I mean, they lost because they had, like, nobody. But, you know, he's him being there. Like, the longer this could very easily go 7. It could also be, like, over 5. It's hard to tell with these teams because neither of them have any experience or history. It was like Shea's, like, the only player in Oklahoma City who's been to the playoffs. And it was his rookie year. And then that one time in the bubble, the year before the bubble, the year after the bubble, I don't know, whatever year that Chris Paul was on, and they played the Rockets. It was the bubble.
Yeah, it was.
Like, that's it. I mean, this is this is an interesting thing because, like, in the West, if you're gonna not pick a team that's the Nuggets to have the future, it's three teams. It's Oklahoma City, it's San Antonio, and it's the Pelicans. And the reason it's Oklahoma City is because they have a core that fits really well. They also have a million picks. In San Antonio, it's because they have Victor. In the Pelicans, it's, you know, we had Zion. Like, you have Zion eventually, but we also have a million picks. Like,
and Zion played good down the stretch too, and he was awesome in the play-in.
Like, he was the best player in their play-in game. They would have won that game if he hadn't gotten hurt. You know, so it's they got a bright future. This is the most fun from like the Nugget series is the most fun from like a technical aspect and like watching a high level basketball. This is the most fun of, oh yeah, we're fucking here and we kind of don't know what we're doing, but we're here series. Like, usually teams as young as the Thunder aren't the one seed.
No.
Like, I mean, when we say
I've heard
young,
people,
like, they're younger than the Thunder team that made the playoffs in like 2010, but those players were younger. Like, Durant was in year three, Harden was in year like one or two, and Westbrook was in like year two. Like, they were still like fundamentally. Shea's in year six. Jalen Williams is currently older than any of the players when the Thunder made it last time. Like, they're an older team, but they have a lot of young pieces that have worked and lived and grown together. Like, I don't even remember how old Lu Dort is. Like, you don't hear anyone talk about Lu Dort anymore. He was a big piece for them. Josh Giddey's like 22 years old.
Yeah.
Like, they're a young team that's kind of older than they appear, but they don't have like that playoff season because they had those weird like 3 years where they were tanking. So they got all the experience and then they got all these rookies. So they're an interesting team. This will be a fun series. I mean, Oklahoma City has a shot at the finals. I think they're at least a piece away, but they're here. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see them grow.
And ultimately, you do feel that they will knock out the Pelicans, whether it goes five or seven.
I think they have too much, not even depth. I think it's a health thing. I don't know. Like, Ingram's not fully healthy, and they don't really have like a hole in the same way. Like, if you're gonna play against New Orleans, you're gonna go after McCollum. Like, McCollum's not a good defender, and Valanciunas isn't a great defender either. Like, they don't have guys in the same way that Oklahoma City does. Who are you going after in the start? Is it Josh Giddey? Like, Josh Giddey's big. Like, he's 6'8". Like, he's a big guard to go after. And you know, Shea is a phenomenal defensive guard. Jalen Williams is really good. Like, I don't think, you know, the Pelicans have the enough foils. But, you know, these are really good coaches. I think Dagholt's probably going to win Coach of the Year. But Willie Green's a good coach, and he's done a really good job with this Pelicans team.
Well, just that injury bug, as you say, could be the crux of the Pelicans, but something is definitely cooking on both franchises. But that should wrap this up for today. We'll check in next week to see where this goes. Hopefully we're talking either before game 7 or 6 or see where this unfolds. But ultimately, I think we're going to get some more very good basketball. And I'll check in with you next week, Faces, and we'll see who's left and who's not around this time. So thank you so much.
All right, Matt. I'll catch you next time.
Peace.